Thank you for listening to the Weekly Market Outlook. It is our pleasure to bring an industry-leading market analyst to provide you with the most value possible in your farm business. Please reach out anytime by emailing cbarron@agviewsolutions.com.
Hi, this is Joe with the AgView Pitch, and today I'm here with Greg McBride. He's the director of brokerage at Allendale, and I've worked with Greg a long time, and today we're just going to visit about markets and that kind of thing. So how's things going, Greg?
It's good. It was an ideal finish to the day. Nice green on the screen everywhere we looked. So there's not much to complain about on what looks like a nice rainy Friday.
It seems like we found maybe a little bit of some firmness on the bottom side. And allowing everybody to take a little bit of a deep breath. And so we got a report today. What were your thoughts on that report? It was kind of blah.
Yeah, well, it was, but I mean, after everything we've seen, you know, it's been a very predictable bullish or bearish sentiment to every report. I mean, especially when we had that big January report, we had like four reports that came out January 12th, and it was from there, it was just everything was the worst possible scenario. We didn't see the cuts to Brazil's crop like we thought we were going to see. Their weather improved to start the year. And, you know, our production was a monster. Our yields were record or in the record area for both corn and beans. So, you know, everything just started out the year about as bad as it could be. And then it got worse in February. So we walked into this one thinking, well, a minor decrease in corn. It was like 15 to 20 million bushels that we were looking for. So when you're talking 2.1, almost 2.2 billion in carryout, that's not 20 or 15 million is not very much. A slight increase was expected for beans to 319. That could actually get a lot worse if you start looking really and diving into how bad the exports have been. So that'll be something to kind of keep us on the defensive, but the big thing everybody was really looking for, because everything else was kind of status quo, was what is the USDA going to do when they update Brazil? And, you know, we saw last month, CONAB made some significant cuts to corn and beans, and the USDA followed by not nearly as much. And then once again, here we go on this report. We haven't gotten CONAB's numbers for February or for March yet, but the USDA only dropped the beans by a million tons, and they made no change to Brazil's corn. So we're once again back to slow playing. But like you said, though, it kind of feels like we've gotten some breathing room, or we've had a chance to breathe now after everything was so bad in January and February, that now we're starting to see the funds maybe lighten up a little bit. We're starting to see the open interest decline a little bit, which is kind of a positive. There is potential. A matter of maybe we are kind of through that bear cycle, at least for right now.
I sure hope so. I mean, it's been tough to watch. I mean, especially if you have unpriced stuff sitting in the bin, from a farmer's standpoint, it's just been absolutely horrific to watch. But, you know, we knew there was going to eventually be a little bit of a pause, you know, once the March basis contracts went away. You know, it's good that, you know, the fact that it was somewhat neutral, you know, maybe that's a slightly bullish in a way because we stopped burning them down. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Well, and you mentioned it right there, was the fact that the March basis contracts came in and had to be, a lot of them had to be delivered on, or just they wouldn't let you roll them out. You got into that first notice period. It kind of felt like that was the the last gasp there. You know, I did that meeting with where you were at last week, and that's kind of what the beans felt like too. You know, you get to that point and they make these new lows, and it's like, man, it doesn't feel like they're making these new lows with any real gusto. And it's not like anybody was wanting them to make new lows, but it was like, we're kind of reaching down. Then we see it bounce back up. And it was like, there was some elasticity to the market, but that elasticity only lasts so long. Now we've gotten a little bit off these lows. I mean, I think you're like 30-ish cents off the lows in corn. You're about 40 or 50 off the lows in beans. And depending on what the CFTC says today, you might see them lighten up on those short positions a little more, and we could start to get a little more upside. It wouldn't take much. They don't have to go long for us to even start to see some higher prices here. We could just see them lighten up on that short position.
So where's like the next level of like resistance as far as on the upside? Like what can we realistically kind of see here as a run during, you know, as we get into planting time and that kind of thing?
Yeah, so ideally 475 on the July contract is what we'll be watching for. We have targets up near 550. I don't necessarily have a thing to go there just yet. On the beans, it's going to be, you're going to have $12 resistance. So you're sitting closest on that July contract. I think we were 1186 or something like that going into the close today. So you're sitting very close to your next level of resistance. But the thing with beans is we can pack it on really quick. And it's going to be like, well, how did we get 90 cents in 5 days? Or how did we get 90 cents in 2 weeks? And that's probably where guys that are still holding on to cash need to start saying, okay, I've gotten 50, I've gotten 70, or I've gotten 90 cents. I need to do something with it. And if you want to continue to maintain that ownership, that's where, you know, you can come in, you can buy some calls. That way you've got it on paper. You're limited as far as your risk is, because if the market then falls off going into, say, the March acreage report, or even into April, that's where you could say, well, at least I sold the cash. I don't have that risk sitting in front of me.
So I just find
but I think overall, I think you've got potential for 5.25 on old crop on the corn, and I think you've got potential on old crop beans to see 13 again. Now I'm not going to get crazy and say 14, but that is something where 13 seems attainable, but anything within 20 cents on either side of it is fair game.
I finally threw the towel on most of my old crop and decided that I was going to put all my focus onto new crop bushels and, you know, making sure that, you know, we had our targets in and, you know, we got a little bit of a plan to take advantage of something whenever it does pop. And,
yeah,
you know, we're coming into a seasonal time at a elevator that I work with, and they're like, you know, they came out with this seasonal high contract where they just sell so many bushels every day during the seasonal high period. And I threw some bushels into that. I thought, you know what, there's no better, you know, that's as good a strategy as any right now, it seems like.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, honestly, that's the biggest thing is for every producer out there, it's one thing to come up with a plan, but it's another thing to stick with it. We get enamored with that next 5 cents or that next 10 cents. And that's where guys start to pull orders, you know, whether it's at the elevator with cash contracts or basis contracts or whatever, or it's with people like myself where we've got hedge orders in place for to trade the board. And, oh, well, I know you said, you know, 525, but do you think we can get 530? Yes, but are we going to be mad if we sold 525 and it did and it went to 529? I mean, we've seen that in the past. I mean, it was a when you and I started working together, there was a year we hit like 449 and three quarters as our high. Can you imagine how many people had that number at 450 and missed it by a tick?
Y'all are sorry.
It's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. And that's one of those things. And if you look at the like a longer term chart of the corn market, especially the beans do it too, but the corn market, you have these what we call wow years. You know, you get a go to 2008 where you had the the kind of the Lehman Brothers debacle that that happened. Well, crude oil that year goes to like $140. Corn and beans, I mean, you're talking $8 corn, you're talking I think like $16 or $17 beans at the time, and it was like, man, this is there's nothing going to stop this thing. Well, shoot,
that Lehman was my second year of farming, Greg.
What's that?
That was my second year of farming.
Well, your dad probably.
I thought money grew on corn plants.
Yeah, but that's the thing. You get these wow years, and it's oh man, it can only go up. It can only go up, and well, then it stops. I mean, look back at 2012. We had that drought at some point, and it was roughly August or September for corn, and it was September for beans. That market stopped going up. Now we had elevated prices for 2010, 11, 12, and then they were still elevated in 13. And I can tell you that in 14 and 15, we were still paying elevated prices for inputs, but we were dealing with what, 350, 450 corn. So we'd have the price of corn at that point. You just did it again. You saw we came into that pandemic. We had the recession that washed everything out. We went down to basically $3 corn, $8 beans, came back out of it. We looked like champs. We went for 3 years essentially where the market was never going to come down. And here we are. We just, March corn just went sub $4 for the first time in years. And beans were, 11 something, 1140, 1150. So we've seen the end of what we call like a wow cycle. Oh my gosh, look at this. This is great. Now it's, are we going to get back into that 350, 450 zone? Maybe, but I think it's going to be a little bit higher, maybe 375 to 5.25. But those markets, when they come down, it's like one of these and then they go sideways. So we could have a little bit higher this year, but then maybe next year, or the year after, it's lower. So, when you start to talk about what you're doing for this year, theoretically, this is a good time to start looking at what you can do for next year too. Looking at that 25, that 25 crop and saying, okay, if we can get 5, 5.25, because there's a premium in those deferred contracts right now. Maybe if we can get 5, 5.25 for some 25 corn, that's not a bad place to start locking a little bit in.
That's excellent advice. I've started kind of doing some of the 25, nothing crazy, but started dipping my toe in the water there. And it's always good. We're eternally long.
Yeah.
And, if you miss it this year, you've got more to sell next year. And, you just always got to be looking out ahead.
Right.
And it's a tough market, especially when not much is happening. So our next possible fireworks was at the end of March, the planting intentions. That's what's on
prospective plantings.
Yep.
And it's also a quarterly grain stocks report. So we get a measure of how big the pile is at the beginning of March. So they give it to us at the end of March. But so we're getting essentially quarter two data as far as usage, like whether it's the feed and residual, that kind of stuff. And a lot of times everybody walks into it talking acreage, but we walk out of it talking about what the USDA did or did not recognize in the stock side of things. So, every month, the report we got today was ending stocks. Well, that's what we think. That's what we project the pile is going to be at the end of the year. Well, this quarterly grain stocks is what the pile is as of the end of that quarter. So we've had a lot of times where we've seen swings of 100 million to 300 or even 400 million bushels on the corn side of things. And a lot of that is because of the feed and residual. Well, we start to talk about how many animals we're feeding, the livestock side of things. You look at, you start to look at cattle on feed reports, and you kind of get an idea of what's out there, and you pay attention to that stuff. Well, the problem with that is that it's not a one-to-one ratio. We don't necessarily know, based on how many animals we have, exactly how much we're feeding them. So the USDA can pencil whip us. They can come in and they can make changes where they raise the feed and residual, and it's, oh, well, that hurts us. And then they lower it, and it's like, oh, okay, well, now all of a sudden we've got lower stocks by 300 million bushels that we didn't realize, and all of a sudden it's friendly. You go back to, ooh, what year was it? It might have been 2020, right after the, or maybe it was 19, but we had an increase to stocks one quarter. I think it was in March. Entire spring and summer with these higher stocks. And in September, after everybody had sold their old crop cash for pennies to the dollar, in September on that report, they came in and moved it back in the farmer's favor. Well, prices take off. Well, that didn't do us any good because we'd already sold the cash.
Yeah, that was in 20.
Yeah, so we sit there and we're like, oh, okay, well, and then that also, you know, at the same time, 20 was the year where we started to see the inflation start to kick in. We started to see, you know, we had the Trump trade deal with China, where we were getting corn and bean sales. We've been a bean seller to China forever, but corn was always we never got a chance to touch it. Well, we had a good 2-year stretch where we were selling corn to China, and that's kind of gone by the wayside. Now we do sell a little bit to them, but nowhere near as much as it was during that 2021 timeframe.
Do you, what did you say the targets were on soybeans, on new crop soybeans? What are some targets that would be good to put in on that new crop for planting, especially as we see, you know, if they adjust something for Brazil or whatever, you know, where mm-hmm. in your mind, what are you telling your customers as far as a good bean?
Our official number is like 1310 for the November beans. I've been telling, and I when we do our conferences and stuff, I'm the one that does all the bean presentations and stuff. We could hit that. I don't have any problem with that number, but I'm generally going to be a little more aggressive or a little more conservative and say, okay, I think we need to start sooner. So what I've told people is, I wouldn't be opposed to starting my bean sales, whether that's cash or even on the board, somewhere between $12.75 and $13. And you could even stretch that a little bit further and start at $12.50, because if you look at what we just set for our spring insurance, that's still well above that level. Even if the market falls back off, which we think it will, we could put a 10 in front of this thing by this fall. If that's the case, a $12.50 sale is not going to be the worst thing in the world. Now, there's a million things that can go wrong between now and when we harvest this thing that could give us higher prices. We're talking about La Nina right now. Well, if that comes in, we get a hot, dry summer, that could give us a reason to go higher than that $12.50 or that $13.14 or $13.10 area. But the problem that I have with all of these things nowadays is the genetics have gotten so much better in the crops that we grow since that 2012 debacle. It's like you can't stress this stuff enough and you still come out of it with decent crops. Now, I get it. There's going to be places that are that are lower. But look at the amount of rain that we had. You know, you and I are basically in the same area. You know, there were quite a few times where we were supposed to get rain last year in the late spring and early part of the summer, where we got a quarter of an inch, maybe. And that was the all we would get for weeks at a time. But at the end of the day, or at the end of the season, we still had a hell of a crop. We had what was a record for a lot of producers in our area.
It was a record for me.
It's hard to, that's why it's hard to say that you can get and stay bullish on like a La Nina type forecast or a hot and dry forecast. Yes, it can give you some upside, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to ruin that crop. Now, obviously, timing is everything.
Yeah, it goes back to the basics of having those orders in place, having a plan. I mean, I like to make a plan because I can't rip it up until I make it.
And the idea then is, you know, if you have some sort of a combination of board hedges versus cash sales, you know, there's some wiggle room there. There's also the idea that if you end up, you know, then that's okay. That's more that I sell on top. That's, you know, that's the cherry on top at that point. Hopefully it's a cherry that you can sell at a higher price, or you can get a manageable price, or maybe you can just put it in storage and let it sit for a little while. And if you're waiting for the prices to come back around, but that's the kind of thing where it's work off of, you know, trying to get guys to work off of 50% cash, 50% hedge, or, you know, 75%. Cause even when you go back to 2012, when we had that drought, what was your cut to production? 30%, 40%.
Oh yeah.
I mean, for most
35.
Yeah, most producers had at least half of their overall production. So there's your cash that you could deliver. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, you would have taken a bath on the board hedges, but you know, if you do it in a reasonable way, you can limit that risk. So that's where it's, you know, that's why it's, I love having a plan. I love having, you know, because that's why we can call and we can talk to people, especially like you, who's a little more on the cash side. And we can say, all right, what do you have done? Okay, let's lock in if we get up here, because then there's all the wiggle room of, I just don't know. Okay, that's fine. I had producers last year that were going into 4th of July week or weekend, and they were out riding the edge of the knife, and they didn't know if they were going to have a crop at all. Well, next thing you know, they get an inch and a half of rain, they end up with a record crop, and they're kicking themselves because they didn't do anything 2 weeks sooner in June, because they just didn't know if they were going to have anything.
The psychology of that position is very difficult. I actually felt that as well. You know, June was crazy dry, and it's like, mm-hmm. how aggressive do I get in forward selling? And it goes back to, you know, if you've got a good crop insurance, you know, policy underneath you, and you know what that is, when those marketing opportunities come, you know, a guy still needs to take advantage of it. But the psychology of that is difficult in the moment.
Yeah. And that's that's the whole thing, is you have a team that you work with, whether it's your agronomist, your insurance person, your elevator, your broker, you know, there's your banker for that matter. They all kind of want the same thing, or they should want the same thing. If not, you kind of want to make sure you get them out and get somebody new. But the idea is, essentially, we want to try and make sure we're protecting profit, and we want to, if there's profit to be made, and then we also want to be able to, if we miss something, we want to try and make sure that we've done enough or done as much as we can to just keep the lights on for next year. let's get it next year. Let's try and make sure. So like when I talk about look at the 25 crop, a lot of times I don't talk like that. I don't look out to those types of those extra out. It's so hard to get people to do anything in the current year. So when they do that, it's like the guys that start to think forward like that, that's where you're like, okay, yeah, they get it. They understand they're going to be here next year. We need to make sure that we've got at least something. And like you said, you don't go crazy with it, but you at least are kind of dipping your toe in the water to get something started.
Super important. You always got to be looking ahead.
Absolutely.
As we get close to wrapping up here, is there anything else that you want to talk about, or you think that our listeners would have, getting more value out of? What do you got?
Yeah, I mean, the whole idea this year, you know, like I said, we're coming off of a couple of wow years, essentially. It's we've got to take advantage of these market moves when we get them. We typically do get a move. Some years it's once you get past that acreage report and it goes until, you know, maybe Memorial Day weekend. Some years, like last year, we had a rally that didn't start until basically mid-June. We had a heck of a rally for about 2 weeks. The market pulled way back after that. And then we got another rally at the end of July, but it was so stunted. Well, I mean, look, it's 105 degrees right now. This thing's going to burn up. We haven't had much rain. That you still have to come up with a plan. You have to stick to that plan. And it's, yes, there's going to be a few times where you're sitting there like, oh, I wish I had done that. But a lot of times, and you probably know this as well as the next producer, but a lot of times the sales that you make ahead of time, you're not going to have a hard time with that. Those are going to be some of your best sales because you've taken some of that question mark away from it. It allows you to sleep at night. This is a stressful industry. You know, this is one of those things where if you know you've got corn sold for, you know, last year it would have been if you had corn sold for anything above $5.50, you were pretty good. Now you might have had some nights where it was like this market's going to the moon, and I don't know if I'm going to have a crop, but it only took 2 weeks to then figure out that you were right again. But that's the thing, is that we have to continue to come up with a plan. Now I've told numerous customers today and recently, I don't have a reason to be bullish right now. I do not have a reason. I look at the exports for corn, they're okay. The exports for beans are terrible. Argentina is back. Brazil has a big crop. Regardless of how much the USDA or CONAB or whoever cuts, South America has a record crop. South America and the United States are going to have a record crop on this old crop. And when we look out to the crop that we're about to plant, the 24-25 crop, that's projected to be a record. So you don't walk into record crops thinking that you're going to see the market go to the moon. That's why it's important to take action. That's why it's important to have a plan and stick to it. So if you get a rally, which we typically do get, you have to start selling into that rally. And it's not necessarily that you have to sell everything right now. There's time, but it is one of those things where you have to be paying attention. And I know farmers are always out there looking at the price. Well, why was it down 2 cents today? Why was it up 10 cents today? Sometimes it's just because of extra information or lack of information. But the idea is once you start making those sales, just continue to work your way up and continue to lock more and more and more in to the point, whether it's cash or whether it's hedge, and give yourself that sleep easy at night knowing that you got your crop sold. Because like I said, that 2012 year, we had a very big cut. I think it was 122 bushels an acre or something like that, 124 bushels an acre. down from 166. Well, that's a big cut, but that also means that we still had two-thirds of the crop out there. You know, so there's a lot of producers that had corn. Yes, some people always get beat up. That's why I think it's great that you guys can tell me how much rain they got in Northwest North Dakota when you didn't get rain on your farm or vice versa. You guys are always watching to see what's going on. But I think you have to go into it with the mentality of big crops. The USDA is going to tell us we have a crop until they tell us we don't. And most of the time we don't know that until way later on and it's too late. So it's October, November.
It's all about averaging into it.
It is. It is. That's been one of those things that I've preached to my customers for years is I don't like to just pick a number and sell that number. I like to start early and just average up. If I stair step up, I'm going to bring that average up. I don't like to sell into the crash.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Well, Greg, thank you for this conversation today. If somebody want to get a hold of you, what's your email address?
It's gmcbride at allendale-inc.com. That's allendale-inc.com. So gmcbride@allendale-inc.com.
Right on. And if anybody wants to get a hold of me for whatever reason, it's joe@agnewsolutions.com. And thanks for your time today. And thanks everybody. And we'll catch up with you next week.